Welcome back to the Pistols Firing Podcast. It is a Thursday. March Madness is in full swing. Travis Ford is still the head coach at Oklahoma State, and joining me is Kyle Porter, and we have a special guest today. It's a man who I have a great deal of respect for, I've known for quite some time. It's Bill Haston from the Tulsa World, does as good a job as anybody covering OSU and the Thunder and everything else. So, Bill, I appreciate you coming on.
Oh, that's very kind, Carson. Thank you. And as far as we know, Travis Ford is still the coach at Oklahoma State.
That's true.
I mean, that is, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I know there was a really interesting tweet from Juwan Evans this morning. Did you guys see that?
Yeah. Yes. I wanted to ask you about that, Bill, because you have obviously covered stuff like this longer than Carson and I have. How difficult is it to not only try to do the original reporting that you're doing, but to try to decipher the stuff that goes on in social media and just everything that goes along with it?
Social media has added a layer to this kind of a process that didn't exist 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Certainly 20 years ago. But I have to say, Mike Holder, when he wants to clamp a lid on something, he does a pretty good job of that. And so I hear little bits and pieces. I feel fairly secure in the people I think are on Coach Holder's radar in regard to the next guy. But in terms of the day-to-day process with Coach Holder, boy, I suspect that he put out a memo throughout Gallagher, Iowa a few days ago or weeks ago that said, hey, nothing gets leaked. And you know, I don't blame him. I mean, I would rather there be some leaks, but no, social media has been a game changer in a lot of areas, but certainly in this too. But you know, if you try to analyze what Evans tweeted this morning, I mean, it almost reads like maybe somebody has kind of in an attempt to make sure that he's comfortable and that he will stay, somebody might have sat down with him and said, listen, here are the couple of guys we're looking at. They're both really outstanding candidates. Or maybe even here is the guy who we think may be the next guy. And, you know, do your research, decide for yourself, but he's an outstanding guy. So I don't know. I would be surprised, though. It's 1:10 p.m. on Thursday. I'll be surprised if we don't have some clarity by 6 o'clock today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I don't mean in regard to the next guy. I mean in regard to the here and now with Travis's status. I think there'll finally be some clarity maybe later today.
Yeah, I don't think you can let it linger all the way through another weekend, can you, Bill?
No. And I think there's already some closure in that regard that's already been achieved at OSU. It's just you know, there hasn't been an acknowledgement of it or an announcement or a release or any of that from OSU. But I don't think they're sitting there behind closed doors at Stillwater trying to decide if they're going to go a different direction. I think that was decided, if not weeks ago, months ago. And then especially when they reach a point in the season where they're able to determine that attendance has dropped 44% in 2 years, that ticket revenue is down more than $2.5 million relative to Travis's first season.
Yeah.
I don't think this was a decision that – I don't think Mike Holder got back from the Big 12 tournament and decided to make a change. I think this has been something he decided to do quite a while ago.
I know there have been a lot of theories going on about why we haven't heard from Mike Holder, because even last year when there was a little bit of just rumors flying around, you heard from him. Him and Boone, I can't remember how quickly this happened after the tournament, but him and Boone met or talked or whatever, and then they both publicly supported Travis Ford. Why do you think we haven't heard anything at all from him over the last week?
Because he's not ready to say anything yet. And at the time, now listen, I've been told by a couple of people, and these are really credible people, that this was all closer to happening a year ago than really we all realized.
Yeah.
And that ultimately, I think I just have to presume last year, ultimately, they decided that the buyout was just too steep.
Mm-hmm.
And that they would stand pat for another year, get that buyout figured down, and which happened, and of course what you get out of it is terrible attendance and a ninth place finish in the conference. And just a terrible season that was doomed from the start as soon as Forte got hurt. But now, you know, I think Mike Holder, it certainly, if they were going to stand pat, he would have poured cold water over all this speculation days ago. So I just think he wants to do it on his terms and on his timeline. And I believe that probably Travis has been informed that there'll be a change, and that I think what's happening now is OSU is in consideration. You know, nobody at OSU dislikes Travis Ford. Right. The only thing he didn't do was win enough. And so I think there's some accommodating going on at OSU in regard to letting Travis examine other job possibilities, which would be a win-win for everybody, because Travis would get to avoid having a firing on his record. And it would knock the buyout figure or settlement figure down considerably, you would think,
right,
if he does have a job. So, you know, I guess it's better to pace yourself with those possibilities than it is to just rush, you know, and do a knee-jerk reaction to the public sentiment, which would be an immediate firing, and then have to pay the guy $7 million plus in a buyout. So, you know, we all want quicker resolution than there's been. The fan base certainly does want something quicker than what's happening, but I believe maybe by, you know, within four or five hours from now, I think maybe we'll have a little more clarity.
Yeah, Bill, you mentioned just how quiet Holder's able to keep it, but your article along with Mark Cooper is really all we know at this point. What you mentioned, there's a search committee of about four or five people. And you mentioned earlier the people that would be on the radar for this, for the people or for the guy who would take over for Travis Ford. Who do you think is on that committee's short list?
I really believe, if I had to handicap it, that Buzz Williams would be the most prominent guy on the radar, on Oklahoma State's radar right now. I mean, I am told that he has told people for a while that he would like to get into the Big 12. His buyout figure at Virginia Tech next week drops more than 50%, from like $3.5 million to $1.5 million. So a guy with his credentials and his name, if he's sincere about wanting to move to the Big 12 and your options are TCU and Oklahoma State, I just have to think maybe that if Buzz Williams is sincere about wanting to come to the Big 12, that OSU would be his first choice. TCU has done some things to improve their program and their building, but TCU hasn't been to two Final Fours in the last 20 years, and Oklahoma State has. And Oklahoma State's athletic department, on the whole, is more impressive than TCU's. So, but obviously, Doug Gottlieb's going to get a look at the job. He just is. He's got a relationship with Holder. He's got a relationship with Boone. He's going to get a look at it. But I think it's a little interesting, too. I don't sense quite as much fervent support for Gottlieb's candidacy on Twitter today as I did a couple of weeks ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think maybe the fan base just seems to be not necessarily to cool on Doug, but maybe the fan base is looking at, you know, people like Buzz Williams or people like Chris Beard at Little Rock or people like or guys like Underwood down at Stephen F. Austin. I mean, there are some, you know, there's some quality guys out there. And so it'll be fascinating. I mean, how would you like to – I would buy a ticket. I would love to buy a ticket and sit in the room and listen to Doug Gottlieb's pitch to those four guys on that committee. Wouldn't you? It'd be fascinating.
We've kind of heard it off the record, and I tell you, it is fascinating.
We all have.
Well, Kyle's about to stoke that flame on social media. If you're worried about the Doug getting quiet, Kyle, aren't you?
I've got some things to drop on everyone once. I don't want to do it while Ford is officially still the coach. But there's a lot of parallels, Bill, between the Iowa State situation 6 years ago with Fred Hoiberg and what was going on with that program. Four straight losing seasons with Greg McDermott. OSU hasn't experienced that kind of low, but it just feels like a similar situation. Do you get that sense at all, or is that something? Are we just trying to force something that's not there?
Well, what Hoiberg achieved at Iowa State certainly doesn't hurt Doug's cause, and there are parallels. And you know, I wish I had a better feel. You know that the younger of you know, the younger third or so of the fan base, they're on Twitter. But a lot of fans in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, they're not yeah. firing out opinions on social media. So I don't pretend to know what the overall fan base
right.
Approval rating would be right now for a Gottlieb candidacy. I just don't. I know I talk to people all the time, and I talk to people who aren't necessarily on Twitter, and I ask them, what would you think of this? And the reactions range from, he's the one guy who could unite the fan base overnight, to Coach Holder would be crazy to hire this guy. So, I mean, so I don't know. I mean, yeah, when that happened with Hoiberg, it certainly added some credibility to Gottlieb's candidacy. But if it Buzz Williams... you know, if he's really sincere about wanting to come back to this part of the country, you've got to look at him. You have to. But the Gottlieb thing, from the standpoint of what Carson does for a living and what we do for a living, you couldn't ask for a better guy than Gottlieb.
Oh my god,
he's
going to
be quotable.
Yeah.
He's going to be a sensational story. But I don't have an emotional investment in it like all these fans do, and like. For that matter, like Mike Holder does. So it's a massive, it's the biggest hire, it's by far the biggest hire Mike Holder's had to make since he's been the AD in 10.5 years.
Do you think he'd be a good coach, Bill?
Who, Doug?
Yeah.
Probably, yeah. I think he knows the game. I think he's still young enough and really is more youthful even than his age.
Yeah.
Where he can make eye contact with an 18-year-old guy and connect, not just as coach and player, but as guys. And he still plays a lot of pickup basketball. He's still in good shape. He would get out there and run around with him. The key is to get, you know, surround himself with the right staff. And that's essential. I mean, you've got to have experienced people, and you've got to have people who have a million – Texas high school coaches in their numbers in their phone and you know, a combination of James Dickey types and young 31-year-old assistants who can get out and work 22 hours a day. So Doug surrounded himself with the right staff. I don't see any reason why he couldn't, you know, thrive as a head coach.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Carson and I obviously both agree. Bill, you sound you sound fired up about this. What you've been covering a bunch of teams for a long time. What keeps you motivated to keep getting scoops? Keep, you know, like you said, firing off opinions. And I don't know. You sound like you just enjoy it. What is it about this that excites you so much?
I mean, I don't know. This is all I've ever done. I mean, I've been doing this since I was a junior in high school. You know, and I think about it a lot though. Because I've known some people in this business who hit the wall, and once they did, they just couldn't recover. And I've never had a day ever where I wasn't looking forward to work. And every day is kind of a snowflake. I mean, Carson can testify to this. I mean, every day is a little different.
Yeah.
My day starts at a different time every day, and my day ends at a different time. And and you never know. I mean, this was a tragedy, but when I left the house to cover OSU Kansas football game in the fall, I thought, well, you talk about a routine dud of a game, and then it wound up being, you know, one of the biggest stories of the year last year, and I barely saw the football game because I was covering the homecoming tragedy.
Yeah.
And you just never ever know from day to day what you're going to encounter, and this is such an important story, this basketball story. It's such an important story to so many people. And it's an it's important for OSU basketball to be restored to what it was 10 or 12 years ago. That, you know, it's a very compelling story. What is Mike Holder going to do with this job? And I want to say this, too, real quick. I think a lot of the stuff that's been fired out about Travis Ford and at Travis Ford directly on Twitter is unfair and pointlessly cruel in some cases. If you look back at 08, at some of the circumstances and factors that kind of coincided with his arrival, I mean, the Sutton era comes to an end. So the incredibly popular Sutton family is out of the program for the first time, you know, since 1990. And then 17 days later, after Sean gets fired, the NBA Board of Governors approves the Sonics move to Oklahoma. And then in the fall, there's a stock market crisis that affected everything and everybody. And then OSU that year, the football team had a 9-win season. So the football team goes to a higher level, and they've sustained it. So ultimately, I think middle-class families had to choose between buying football tickets and basketball tickets because they're both really expensive. And I think some families ultimately decided to spend their basketball money on the Thunder instead of Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
And so Travis arrived at a really interesting time in Oklahoma sports. and then you couple those factors with, you know, only being 1-5 in the NCAA tournament. And I think only two of his eight teams finished better than 6th in the Big 12. And that, you know, so it's sitting like the standards were in the mid-80s or the 70s or whatever. I mean, Eddie set the bar really high. And so, you know, that's the standard by which any OSU coach, basketball coach, is measured now. So Travis came in at a tough time, what would have been a tough time for any coach from a money standpoint. And then, but he secures that 10-year contract, and that contract became kind of an albatross for him, like Alex Rodriguez's contract was, you know, for him and Ben.
So no doubt.
It's just been an unusual marriage with Ford and Oklahoma State. He's a good guy. I don't know him that well, but he is a good guy. And, you know, but when they had Markell Brown and Marcus Smart come back for that additional season, and it ended with the first round loss in the tournament, I thought that was a real crossroads for Travis. I thought that was a chance for him to really position himself in a better way with the fan base. And instead, it went the other way.
Yeah, I've heard the same, Bill. I heard, you know, all the donors, everyone at OSU loves the guy. He just, for whatever reason, just hasn't won enough. A guy that a lot of people would like to see at OSU that I have no idea if they have any chance at all is Greg Marshall. Do you think there's any chance in the world he would entertain an offer from OSU?
I think it would be more expensive than they want to pay.
Yeah.
He would answer the call and maybe even jump down for an interview, or they'd have to probably go up there to see him. I don't know. but I think ultimately Greg Marshall doesn't even get involved in the dialogue unless you start at $3.5 million. And let me tell you something. You want to open that can of worms, you want to pay a basketball guy more than you're paying Gundy.
I don't think that would go over well in Mike's office.
No, it wouldn't. and in fact, I believe pretty immediately after OSU gets this basketball situation resolved that they're going to have to redo Mike's contract.
Yeah.
And because he's under 5 years left on his deal now, and kind of the industry standard is 5. And so if Bob Stoops and Bill Snyder and Art Briles and Gary Patterson, if they all have that automatic 50-year tacked onto their contracts, then Gundy wants the same thing. So, Gundy's contract, I would expect, will get redone before, I don't know. I mean, maybe pretty quick, but certainly before the start of the next season. So after basketball gets settled, then that's something I'll keep an eye on as Mike. But no, this is if you think about it, I mean, Holder hired Josh Holliday, and that turned out to be a great hire for baseball. Jim Littell has done a really good job with women's basketball after Kurt Budke passed away. And so I'm, but this hiring out for basketball, for men's basketball, for Mike Holder is, it's just huge. I mean, you've got to get them back on a good level from a revenue standpoint, from a success standpoint. You got to contend in the Big 12. You just do. And it's got to happen fairly immediately. So we made a lot of pressure on Coach Holder and then on the guy he hires as coach.
Yeah, and what you just mentioned is kind of a notch in Gottlieb's favor, just because it's tough to bring somebody in who's had experience and pay them a lot less than you're paying Ford at 2.4 mil or whatever it was. I did want to ask you, Bill, and my point there was that you could do that with Gottlieb because he didn't have as much experience, but I wanted to ask I wanted to ask you about what we've talked a lot, Carson and I have talked a lot about expectations and what Oklahoma State fans' expectations should be. What do you think Mike Holder's expectations are on an average yearly basis for the Oklahoma State basketball program?
Some years you're going to finish fifth and some years you're going to finish second or you're going to win it. But I think Coach Holder's two objectives or two expectations for a coach in men's basketball are A, stay out of trouble, and B, contend for the Big 12.
Yeah.
And does that, and by extension, if you contend for the Big 12, you're fairly automatically guaranteed a spot in the NCAA, right? I mean, Oklahoma State, really, 9 out of any 10-year period, Oklahoma State should be in the field. I think it's that simple. I mean, Coach Holder, he talks about compliance all the time. And let me tell you something. Gundy said it. Nobody else would say it quite like Gundy said it. But when Gundy said, we just got examined for 14 months by SI and the NCAA and our own investigation people, and this is all they came up with, and Gundy said, we should have a party around here. Yeah. I think the entire administration felt like that after the SI stuff, and it came down to what was the most the worst crime they were committed of was like improper oversight of the Orange Pride program. Coach Holder was immensely relieved that his football program came out clean out of that, and he doesn't want any issues in that way. So, NCAA compliance and contending for the Big 12, I think it's that simple. That's what he expects from a basketball coach. And by extension also, if you do that, if you consistently contend, you're going to get people back in the seats.
Absolutely. And you also mentioned –
OU this year.
I know.
Carson, the games at OU, they're filling up. They've had like 7 or 8 sellouts. Mm-hmm. I mean, so if it can happen in Norman, it can certainly happen in Stillwater.
Yeah, that's when it comes to like the Thunder being in town and all that. Like, if you just win, like the stands will be full. There's no question in my mind. But you also mentioned about Holder hiring Josh Holliday. And for whatever reason, Bill, at OSU, some of the most successful coaches, or all the most successful coaches, rather, went to school at OSU. That would be a huge feather in Doug's cap as well. Why do you think the alum status of these coaches has played so favorably?
I don't know. I think part of it's circumstantial, and part of it probably there's something is to. I mean, Holder himself was an OSU guy, right? He won a national championship. And Gundy's creeping up on 100 wins. Well, the next highest total in program history is 62. So, you can't deny it that for whatever reason, that culture has, OSU guys have thrived in that culture. I don't know exactly why that would be, or if it's just coincidental. I don't know. But you're right. I mean, it can't hurt Gottlieb to know the culture the way he does. And it can't hurt him, to be honest, for Eddie Sutton to come out publicly and say, you know, that he endorses Doug for that job.
Yeah.
When I asked Eddie that question, I didn't tell him before the interview, I'm going to ask you about Gottlieb. I mean, I hit him cold with it, and he didn't bat an eye. And, in fact, he almost cut me off at the end of the question – with his eagerness to answer it. So, you know, it doesn't hurt at all. And furthermore, if there's any perception out there that Holder was anti-Sutton, either Sean or Eddie, that wasn't the case. I mean, Holder was upset and disappointed that mistakes were made by Coach Sutton and by Sean that led to their, you know, their demise ultimately at OSU. But he's not anti-Sutton. In fact, Coach Holder fairly recently had a chance meeting with Sean, and Sean himself told me it went very well. So, and my point is, it's not that an Eddie Sutton endorsement would hurt Doug in the mind of Mike Holder, and it may not be a factor at all either. But it certainly wouldn't hurt Doug that he's a Sutton, that he played for Coach Sutton, and that he has Eddie Sutton's endorsement. That didn't hurt him at all.
Bill, we'll get you out of here on this. I wanted to ask you real quick, because you talked to Mike Holder, you've been around him a lot. What do you think the biggest misperception is of him among LSU fans?
Maybe that he's detached and a little cold and unfeeling. I mean, here's a guy who, I mean, I don't know. I hear from fans all the time, hey, I called this number. I called Mike Holder's office number just to see what would happen, and he answered the phone. I mean, he'll talk to people. He responds to their emails. And, you know, Mike Holder buys season tickets. He's had the same season tickets for over 40 years at the same location in the stadium. And, I mean, he's an OSU guy. He's a fan.
Yeah.
You know, any perception that he's like Mr. Burns living up on the hill, it's just not right. I mean,
do we lose him?
Guess so.
Mr. Burns was, there's an actual Mr.
Oh, was that a bad reference, Mr. Burns?
Oh, you're there, Bill. Yeah. We thought we lost you.
No, is that a bad reference?
Well, no,
Mr. Burns.
There is a Mr. Burns. It's Mr. Burns Hargis, who actually lives up on the hill.
Well, I was referring to Mr. Burns on The Simpsons.
The Simpsons, yeah.
No, you're right about Burns. And just for the record, I mean, Burns Hargis is one of the four on the committee.
Yeah.
So you got two regents, and you got Mike Holder, and you got Burns Hargis. So, Mike Holder is a, you know, he's an interesting guy to deal with, and you talk about a snowflake of a guy, and you don't know what you're going to get from day to day with Coach Holder either. He could either be warm and accommodating, or he'll, you know, slam your fingers in the door. You don't know. But in terms of caring about Oklahoma State, wanting it to thrive, I mean, he's number one. He's whatever Mount Rushmore ultimately there would be for Oklahoma State athletics, he's got to be on it.
Yeah, for sure.
He was working to get the stadium redone when he was still the golf coach. Well, he was.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, no, Mike Holder cares deeply about that school.
All right, Bill. Hey, we really appreciate your time. We know you're busy. You probably got to go call Mike Holder and break this Travis Ford story, so we'll let you go.
Well, I could call Mike Holder every hour on the hour. He's not going to answer the phone. He's not going to answer the phone until after this process is completely finished. He's in stealth mode, and he's going to stay that way. And you know, and for that matter, even if there is an announcement regarding Travis, I would guess there won't be more than a 2-sentence statement, maybe from the athletic department about it, and that's it. Yeah. I mean, he's not going to take questions yet. He won't make a public appearance until they introduce a new coach.
Hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
That's good stuff, Bill. We really appreciate it. And you guys can follow Bill on Twitter at Bill Haysen. He's firing off some opinions, and read him on TulsaWorld.com.
Cool. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks,
appreciate
Bill. It. Talk to you later.
All right.
Best in the biz, Kyle.
He's pretty awesome. I don't know him. I don't really know any of these guys that well, but I probably know him least out of the people that cover OSU for the main newspapers in Oklahoma. He's great though.
Yeah, I first met him when I was a student at OSU. He was covering, obviously, the football program, and I was just starting at the school newspaper. Mm-hmm. And he was a guy that immediately you could tell knew what he was doing, was very tied in, and that's only grown since then. He knows a lot of stuff, and he does a great job. So it was good to hear his insight on the job, because I think he has more insight than anybody.
Well, you get the feeling, and we've talked about this a little bit, you get the feeling he knows where the bodies are buried a little bit.
Yeah.
And there's stuff that he can talk about and stuff that he can't. But I feel like he does a very good job of informing the general public of what he can that's on the record, you know, like, yeah. I know he knows a lot more off the record, but you know, you can't report that stuff. And, I don't know. He's terrific, and he's got a great sense of humor. And I don't know. I love that he just sounds like, it sounds dumb to say, but he just sounds fired up about getting to cover Oklahoma State sports. And I don't know how old he is. I know he's got kids that are probably getting close to our age, or if not already there. So yeah, I don't know. I really enjoyed him a lot.
I can count on one finger the amount of times I've talked to Mike Holder, and you can tell, and it was awesome. He was super nice to me.
Yeah.
But you can tell he knows him probably better than most. And I do agree with him. The misnomer that there's this Holder, anti-Sutton bias, or this Holder just holds a grudge against the Suttons, is just not true. He's right. He didn't like the way things ended for Eddie or Sean. Of course he didn't. Yeah, but he's just going to... Right, nobody did. And it's not like he's going to just not hire someone because they're connected to Eddie Sutton. Like, that's just not the case. Right. So I thought that was good of him to point out. And
yeah,
I think people need to hear that, because I still see people questioning, you know, oh, well, Holder hates the Suttons. Well, no, not really.
Yeah, and I liked his answer to... what are Mike Holder's expectations for the Oklahoma State basketball program? Because, obviously, compliance. I mean, Holder's always talked about that, but just contending for the Big 12. That's not a. I like that there's not a specificity to it, mm-hmm. in terms of like, well, you got to finish third, or you got to, like, you just contend for the Big 12, and I think that, I mean, that makes sense to me, and that's Travis Ford has done that twice.
Yeah, I got third.
Not even really twice. Like legit. I think what Haston is talking about there, I think Travis Ford has legitimately done one time when they got third. They legitimately contended for the Big 12 that year,
mm-hmm.
And it hadn't happened otherwise. And I think that's why you're seeing the change, even though we haven't seen it yet, which is still startling.
Yeah, and it is startling. But Bill verbalized it better than I ever could. You know, some years you're going to finish fifth. Some years you're going to finish second, and some years you're going to win it.
Yeah.
Like that's the best way to possibly put it without, you know, it's vague enough, but yet you get the deal. Just finish in the top half of the league and win it every now and then.
Yeah.
And so that has been Travis Ford's biggest downfall. You can talk about any stats you want. It comes down to the Big 12, and he's right. If you contend in the Big 12, you're going to be contending for everything. So
yeah.
I don't think that's too lofty of expectations.
And he echoed what you said about making the tournament. Oklahoma State should make it 9 out of 10 years. It's not a big deal to make the tournament. 68 teams make it. It's not like making a BCS game. I feel like that's sort of what people equate it to sometimes. And it's like, that's not even, those are not on the same planet.
Yeah, that used to be a resume builder. Oh, he's made the tournament X amount of years. That's completely changed. Like Texas Tech's in the tournament this year.
I used them today, and I wrote a piece on why the five biggest what ifs of the Travis Ford era, and I said, what if Forte had not been hurt this year? You know, are we sure Oklahoma State wouldn't have made the tournament? Texas Tech went 9-9 and made the tournament. Like, it's not a huge deal.
Yeah, and that to me is like a down year for me for OSU, is being in the 8-9 game. Remember some of Eddie's worst years? They were in the 8-9 game, and yeah, they had to play, you know, a really good team in the second round.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what Texas Tech is this year. So, like, making the tournament, a down year should be not making the tournament. It should be being an 8 or 9 seed.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I need to read your what ifs, because I remember you asked me, and I don't think I had any what ifs of the Travis Ford era.
Well, you can just pull them up right now. I wanted to ask you about I guess I was maybe a little surprised at two things. One, how insistent he was on – the fact that he thinks Gottlieb's going to get a couple calls, get an interview, whatever. And then also just the Buzz Williams thing. I guess I'm saying that because it sort of feels like that's something that like just gets thrown around. It's almost like the poor man's version of the Bill Self thing. It's like, oh, we're just going to throw this around. But that seemed like it was like a real thing to Haston. And I think that he's probably more, obviously more plugged in and closer to it than we are.
Yeah, and there's a lot of smoke. I mean, Buzz Williams is already fielding questions about Oklahoma State.
So, yeah, like, but that doesn't mean anything. Like, I can say I asked, you know, I can email like the Celtics PR people and say I asked Brad Stevens a question. Like,
no, I get he has to answer a question that's posed to him, but there's a reason he's being asked that question.
Yeah,
is what I'm saying, because there's a lot of dots that connect with him being, you know, going to school in Oklahoma, being from Texas, and has expressed in the past to people that would listen that he wants to be in the Big 12. I remember when Texas was open, he wanted that job, and OU as well. I think he was a candidate for OU too.
Yeah,
but it ultimately decided to stay at Marquette. So there's, I don't know how real Buzz Williams is, but if Bill's talking about it, it must have some validity. I don't know if he's going to be willing to entertain the OSU job or not, but. It's definitely something to talk about.
Were you surprised about his insistence that Gottlieb is a real thing?
No, because I think he's right. I don't think that surprises me necessarily. I just it does kind of, if that's true, and I think it is, I think Doug's got a way better shot at this than people are believing or letting on, than are considering, rather. Because you've heard the pitch.
Yep.
I've heard the pitch. And if Mike Holder hears that pitch, it's going to be hard to say no. It really will be hard to say, I'm good, Doug. I'm going to go hire Coach XYZ from the East Coast
Coach
or wherever
Beard,
he's at. Coach Beard from Little Rock. Yeah, who did a great job in 1 year with Little Rock. But are you really going to turn down Hoiberg 2.0, who will just – have Gallagher Iba back?
Do you want to preview the piece that I wrote?
I do. I can't wait for you to post it. I'm more angry that OSU hasn't made an announcement just so you haven't posted your Gottlieb column.
I've got a few more things where that came from, but okay, I'm gonna throw out my five what ifs that I wrote.
Okay.
Get your take on each one of them. What if Byron Eaton had missed the layup against Tennessee?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that the other day. Like, it came down to a Byron Eaton layup to even win his one game in the tournament, an 8-9 game.
and my point there, okay, see, Dave and I were talking about this. I think we overvalue tournament wins and losses.
We just do.
They're such a big deal. And I think if Eaton doesn't make that, I don't know if he gets a 10-year deal. I know that sounds like absurd, but I'm not totally positive that it looks a lot better to take the number one. You know, they played Pitt the next game, number one seed. You take them to the brink. You're going to beat the number one team to get in the Sweet 16. That looks way better than losing that 8-9 game in the first round, you know? And
yeah.
I don't know. It's just those games in March. I mean, look at Andy Einfeld or Enfield, however you say his name, that went from Florida Gulf Coast to USC. I mean, those games were a huge deal.
And really, if you think about it, like, let's say you're Maryland. Like, you didn't win your conference, you had a good year. But if you beat South Dakota State and Cal, all of a sudden it's an unbelievable year.
Yeah.
Because you made the Sweet 16.
It's really crazy. It's crazy.
You're playing a below average team and then a really good team. And if you happen to win that one game, then, you know, the second game rather, it's all of a sudden your season's gone through the roof just from two very random matchups. That's kind of crazy considering. That's why I almost place more weight on winning the Big 12.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, you want to do well in March and you want to go deep into the tournament, but your chances of winning the whole thing are pretty slim.
Which I think makes it, and I was talking about this with David Oven the other day. He's like, this Kansas winning 12 straight is like if this happened in football, there would be like, you know,
statues would have been built.
Yeah.
Like the, 30 for 30s would have been made.
There'd be like 50 documentaries about a team like that. Like, I don't think we give enough credit to what they've done. I mean, it's one thing to go to, like, you know, to get to the tournament 12 times in a row or whatever, or to go to, you know, six Final Fours, but to win the Big 12 12 straight years, that's really impressive.
Yeah, it's. I think he matches John Wooden next year if he wins the Big 12.
Yeah.
Or breaks Wooden's record, maybe. I think he matched him this year.
A million.
He will break John Woodson's record.
A million was trying to talk me into self coming to Stillwater today.
Oh my gosh. What was he saying?
He just said, you know, we were texting and I'll pull it up. He said, you know, what if Bill just says, okay, let's do it? And I
yeah. What if he just says, yeah, I'm going to give up this Rolls Royce that I'm driving?
And I put like 50 ha-has and then in parentheses, no chance. And then he said, I mean, there's like a 0.0001% chance or something like that.
Gosh.
And I didn't even respond.
poor Matt's in a dark place. Travis Ford has driven him to a very dark place.
Okay, number two is what if OSU hadn't gotten Oregon in 2013 in the first
round?
That
was a bad draw. That's a bad what if.
They were the number 25 team in the country and they were a 12 seed. They actually went on to beat St. Louis they hammered St. Louis in round two and then lost to Louisville in the Sweet 16.
Gave Louisville all they wanted.
Yeah, and it could have been Oklahoma State playing Louisville in the Sweet 16. So that was number two. What if Marcus?
I was at the watch party when they unveiled Oregon.
Yeah,
at Stillwater. Those guys knew like right away. They were like, oh my god, this is a 12 seed for real.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it was brutal. What if Mark? This is related to that. If they had gotten a better seed, gotten to the Sweet 16, what if Marcus Smart had left after that year? And I mentioned this the other day, but he just raised the expectation level so high for the year after. And so instead of Ford being able to say, hey, the NBA is coming in and raiding our roster, you're saying, hey, I couldn't win a single NCAA tournament game with two NBA guys and, you know, this
best score China's ever seen.
Yeah, the best score China has ever seen. That being
with the most tattoos.
LeBron Nash. So that was number three.
That would have been just another fantastic excuse for Ford to use. Just, oh, well, Marcus Smart left. What do you want me to do?
But I
finished seventh in the league. My bad.
But I feel like that's, and again, it goes back to expectation. Like, you expect a team that's lost Marcus Smart to finish seventh in the league. You don't expect a team with Marcus Smart. I mean, that was, I think Haston mentioned that. Like, that season was the turning point.
Yeah, anyone that still had hope in Ford making it at OSU, I think lost it after that happened.
Yeah, and then
because once you lose with that much talent, there's only one way to go.
Yeah, related to that, what if Brady Heslop didn't hit six threes on February 1st, 2014?
Whoa.
Oklahoma State had won 13 in a row in Galgariba until they lost to Baylor on that day. They went on to lose the next five. Smart got suspended. The whole deal. I mean, that was just – it was a disaster. And that was kind of the genesis of it.
Brady Heslip.
Yeah, Brady Heslip.
I can see his three goggles as we are speaking.
Was he worse than Aaron Bruce?
Way worse. Because Aaron Bruce was, like, really good. Heslip was just a jabroni that shot threes wide open. And made, like – the three goggles on his eyes after making a wide open uncontested three.
I wish I had been more entrepreneurial minded and made Brady Heslip wear his affliction t-shirts back when he was in school. Number five, what if Phil Forte hadn't gotten hurt? I don't think that matters that much, but
they would have been better, but they're ceiling seventh or eighth in the league.
Yeah, but if you go to the tournament this year, that's four straight tournaments. It's hard to fire somebody like that, I guess. I don't know. Maybe not.
They tried to fire him last year.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you agree with Haston? We hear something by the end of the day?
Gosh, I thought we'd hear something by the end of Monday. So what do I know? But yeah, I think today you would think would be the day. But haven't they always said it's good to fire people on a Friday?
Yeah. That's right out of the Tiger playbook, like we talked about.
Yeah, I gotta think they'll just put out a release this evening. I mean, that's my guess too. I guess my guess changes every day.
Yeah, I mean, my guess just the every day becomes the end of that day.
I mean, you could talk me into this lasting till next week. If they're trying to find him another job.
That would be absurd, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
I mean, trying to find him another, what is this like? This isn't like career builder at Oklahoma State. Like, just fire him. Like, what are you okay, by the way? Is something going on?
Yeah, I got, the mowers are here. Someone's cutting my grass outside. So we probably should wrap this up. Did you want to preview Hoiberg real quick?
No, I just want to.
We'll just give him a tease then. Kyle's going to drop some Hoiberg Dougie McBuckets Gottlieb knowledge.
I will give you a chance to respond to, and this is somebody that I know, Michael Madsen on Twitter.
You know this person?
Yeah, yeah.
Now he saw this ridiculous tweet.
He's a good dude. The tweet is ridiculous, but he compared Oklahoma State hiring Gottlieb to Michigan hiring Jalen Rose instead of Iowa State hiring Fred Hoiberg. Wow.
Yeah, he says stop the Hoiberg comparison. It's 100% conjecture. I can't wait till you post this article. I'm going to tag him in it whenever you post this Hoiberg article. Comparing Doug Gottlieb to Jalen Rose is one of the worst comparisons I've ever heard. I mean, you could not have two more different people, backgrounds, history involving the sport. Like, yes, if Michigan hired Jalen Rose, that would be ridiculous.
It would be ridiculous.
But there's nothing ridiculous about hiring Doug Gottlieb.
But the only thing I have in my head when I think of somebody hiring Jalen Rose is him sitting in that like fake room that they had for him and Simmons during
the baseball bat.
With the baseball bat.
he would totally have that over his shoulder when he coached the team, right? Just during the games.
Like I think that the biggest difference to me is Jalen Rose is an entertainer, and he's good at it. I like Jalen Rose. I think he's funny. I think he's fun to listen to, whatever. I feel like Doug Gottlieb, he's an entertainer, yes, but I feel like he's also a student of the game. Maybe Jalen is, and it just doesn't come out, but it doesn't feel like he studies the game like Doug Gottlieb does. And so, totally. Among their many differences...
Can you hear that?
Yeah, I can. we'll go in a second. But among their many differences, I think that might be the biggest for me.
Yeah, you nailed it. I mean, Doug comes from a history of coaches. Jalen does not.
Okay, we need to go. This is worse than the bird in my office.
This is worse than the raven you sent to Stillwater asking if you've any word on Travis Ford.
Okay, Carson, I'm confident that next time we talk, Travis Ford will not be the coach at Oklahoma State.
I'm not.
I've said that three times now.
I'm not confident, but hopefully that's the case.
Okay, we'll talk to you later on.
All right, man. See ya.
See ya.